listening to Cairo News Radio. I'm Brandi Cruz. We've been talking a lot about the pursuit bill and, you know, my desire to see that fixed. And there's bipartisan proposals that are on the table to fix that. I think whenever you can reach something on a bipartisan basis, that tells me it's probably pretty good policy or it's something close to common sense. The other issue when it comes to public safety and some of the crises that we're seeing on our streets that a lot of people would really like to see addressed this session. In fact, it's probably more urgent, is the Blake decision. Of course, the Blake decision from the Washington State Supreme Court invalidated our state's felony drug possession statute, which really took away a powerful tool for law enforcement to be able to, hey, I see someone, you know, they're using drugs and I have a carrot and a stick. I can get them treatment. And if they don't want treatment, you know, I can go the other route. And so it's really imperative that lawmakers try to fix the Blake decision. They put a little Band-Aid on it. That's not going to do. And again, there's a bipartisan proposal that I like very much. I think it's creative that has come out. It's Senate Bill 5467. Two of the gentlemen whose names are Democratic State Senator Jesse Solomon and Republican State Senator Chris Gildon. Gentlemen, thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
Hey,
happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Senator Solomon, let's start with you and take as much time as you need, but give us the overview of what this would do, what this bill would do if I'm someone who is using an illegal drug and an officer catches me.
Well, first of all, this bill ends the two-referral system. What I've been hearing from my officers in my jurisdictions, the cities that I represent, is that it's really unenforceable and unworkable. So a lot of times they can't apprehend a suspect that's using, they can't demand their ID, they can't take the drugs off them because they don't know if they've already received two referrals, because you need to have received two referrals before it can be a misdemeanor. So it's just not workable, and you can just see on the street what the problem is. And it's clear that we need to make a change. So this bill makes drug possession a gross misdemeanor, for the most part, misdemeanor for some aspects of drug possession, and it's treatment forward. So the idea is we will help fund treatment. We want you to get better, get off the streets, et cetera. And if you do treatment before you're convicted, your case is dismissed. If you are convicted, the sentence that the judge can give you is treatment. Unlike any other criminal statute or criminal law, the judge cannot sentence you to jail for the conviction, only to get a substance use disorder assessment and then follow up on recommended treatment by a trained professional. And because we wanted to acknowledge that, at least in my view, to some extent, at least, you know, treatment, addiction is a disease, and so we want to give you a chance to get better. However, if the judge ultimately finds that you willfully failed to comply or you willfully abandoned treatment during the course of your probation, there's a mandatory 45-day minimum term of confinement, because there has to be some kind of accountability or stick involved. But if you do the treatment as required and funded by the state, then your case is overturned, your conviction, and it's not on your record. So we're trying to get you to do treatment, but this bill is an acknowledgement that we believe that without some form of accountability, with strictly voluntary incentives, that has not worked. We need accountability.
Senator Gildon, you know, when it comes to, and I think Republicans tend more toward, you know, the law and order end of things, and we all want people to get better. I mean, that's the ultimate goal, right? In your mind, does this bill strike the right balance between compassion and accountability?
Yeah, well, before I get started, I'd first like to thank Senator Solomon and all of the co-sponsors, both Republican and Democrat, for signing on to this particular bill. You know, the leading cause of death in people under age 60 in our state is drug overdose. Mm-hmm. It is higher than gun deaths. It's higher than COVID, higher than heart disease, anything else. This is a public health and safety crisis, and the legislature has to take action on this. And I think that you'll see from, you know, the number of both Republican and Democrat co-sponsors on this particular bill that we think that it does have a sweet spot between, you know, sometimes interaction with law enforcement is the only impetus that gets a person into treatment. And sometimes that's necessary. But we don't want to just put people who are suffering of drug addiction in jails. We want them to get treatment and to get better and to eventually reenter society as productive members of society. And I think that this bill gets there.
You know, there's another Senate bill, and to my understanding, this other one is only Democrats on it. It's Senate Bill 5536. Do you have an opinion on that particular bill? And if yours has got some Republicans on it and theirs is all Democrats, what's stopping them from just moving this one and ignoring yours? Senator Solomon?
Well, I'll say, we have my bill that I proposed, and Senator Robinson has her bill that she proposed. And we're going to have a debate in caucus, and it's going to be quite the debate I think the main difference between these two bills is that the Senator Robinson bill, while it's a good bill, doesn't have any mandates around what a judge would do if they're dealing with a gross misdemeanor conviction. So my bill borrows from the DUI statute, which if you get a DUI, you have to be on probation, you have to do treatment. And imposes that, and that her bill leaves it to the judge. I've practiced criminal law 13 years, 15 years as a public defender, a couple years as a prosecutor, and just being in the system, I've seen that judges often just give time served. A defendant might not want to go through heroin withdrawals, et cetera, so they'll plead guilty. The prosecutor agrees to time served and they get out of jail and use again. And it's like a non-battle, right? Where it's not on the caseload of the prosecutor. It's no longer the caseload of the judge. And so in a way they're like, okay, I'm done with it. But that's not in the best interest of society. So I think, we need to have a bill that's very clear about what happens post-conviction. And that's the difference between the two bills.
Yes.
Main difference.
Senator Gildon, what do you think's at stake here if this doesn't move forward, or a meaningful fix to the Blake decision accountability does not move forward this session?
Yeah, no, I don't think we have a choice but to take action on this. I mean, you can see so many people just suffering on the streets, and this intervention is absolutely necessary. Like I said a moment ago, it's a public health and safety crisis. And I think it's more important than anything else we're going to do this year. It's going to be more important than the budget. It's going to be more important than the taxes. Any of the other bills that we face, I think, are secondary to this particular issue. This is probably the most important thing we're going to do this year. But I will say one of the differences of the two bills that you were just talking about, from my perspective, and the reason that I personally did not sign on in support of Senator Robinson's bill, is because it includes a phrase in there that includes facilities such as fixed site medication units, safe injection sites, and recovery residences as essential public facilities for the purposes of county and city planning. And I'm not sure why that she chose to add in, a poison pill like safe injection sites being essential public facilities. But for me personally, that was one of the reasons that I did not sign on to that particular bill.
Yeah, I'll read that. It's Section 11 in this bill for folks who want to leave. 5536 is, in my opinion, the weaker of the two bills, but it's not yours, obviously, just so people don't get them confused. But Section 11 says the comprehensive plan of each county and city that is planning under state law shall include a process for identifying and setting essential public facilities. And it lists among those substance use disorder treatment programs, including both mobile and fixed site medication units, recovery residences, harm reduction programs, excluding safe injection sites that emphasize working directly with people who use drugs to prevent overdose and infectious disease transmission. And it goes on from there. Senator Solomon, some, including myself, have accused your party of being soft on crime. Do you think that's a fair characterization?
Well, no. I think that we have a more nuanced approach. So, for example, on gun crime, our approach is removing some guns from the streets, having reasonable gun regulations. That's just one example of a different approach. Do I agree with every policy that we've passed? No. We've been successful in rolling back some of the what you might consider soft on crime bills that we passed. I did support and do support a lot of the police reform, and I voted for, I think it was 1031. But just in retrospect, there were a couple things that went too far, which is totally normal for a big bill, a huge policy bill. You have to pass it. You'd like to know every effect that it's going to have when it's implemented, but that's impossible. So what you need to do is have what we call trailer bills, you know, tweak it a year or two later just to, you know, correct what seemed to be not quite right. And so I think the vehicle pursuit bill would be that trailer bill that we still need to fix from the reforms. But I think as a whole, balancing community safety. Community safety also means people who might feel endangered by police are also protected. So we need to strike the right balance.
Yeah, and on the, if I may, just on the pursuit bill quick, since I've got you, and forgive me, I don't know if your name, is your name on the bipartisan one? It's not, correct?
I signed on to the Senator Lovick pursuit bill. Then there's a second study bill that I did not sign on to because I don't want to, I want to see the first one, the more strong one.
Yeah, I agree. And my question is, you know, Senator Monica Dingra has been very, very firm that she has no plans to give that first one, the bipartisan fix, a hearing in Law and Justice. Would you support, as a Democrat in the Senate, bringing it directly to the floor for a vote?
Well, I think what you're asking is, you know, would I vote against my party on a procedural vote? That's a very difficult thing to do. And I did not do that last year. So it's more of a matter to me of having a, what we say, spirited debate within the caucus, saying that, no, you can't take a bill that is very important to the vast majority of senators and representatives and bottle it up in committee. That's not a great idea. But we have to, in my view, like the Democrat caucus needs to come to an agreement as opposed to, you know, giving control to the Republicans on the Senate floor to pull a vote bill out. So it's a fine line.
Well, why is it so hard to vote against your party if you think it's important, if you like the fix?
You know, there's policy votes, and then there's sort of what we call control of the floor votes. And just the ethic is that you're pretty free, you know, in the Senate to vote your conscience on bills. But purpose of having a majority is to control the floor. And so going against that is it's tough to do.
Interesting. Let's end with, again, one more thought here on your guys' bill, Senate Bill 5467, a bipartisan, I think, really common sense and creative way to deal with the situation that Blake put us in and the drug crisis on our streets. Senator Gildon, what would you say to your fellow senators about the importance of pushing this through?
Like I said, Brandy, I think it's the most important thing that we can do this session. You know, there's a report from public health officials up in King County recently saying that the morgues in Seattle are literally overflowing with people who have overdosed. And, you know, we're a civil society. We're not a third world country. We must be able to provide and care for people in need. And people who are addicted to drugs and are slowly dying on our streets are certainly in need. You know, if a person had Alzheimer's and we left them out on the streets, that would not be acceptable to anyone. I don't know why leaving people who are suffering from drug addiction on our streets is any different.
If for some reason, Democrats opt to go with the other bill, 5536, and your bill is just, and this bill that you're on doesn't move, would you support the weaker bill just so you have something on the books?
I think I'm going to keep my powder dry on that as we continue negotiations through the legislative session. But, you know, I firmly believe that this is going to be the most important thing we do in the legislature this year.
Senator Solomon, I'll give you the last word on this. Your message to your fellow Democrats who might be supporting this other iteration of a Blake fix.
Well, you know, I based my policy proposal, which has 12 of 20 co-sponsors, that's pretty close to the majority, based on you know, my life experience and the 30,000 hours I've spent representing people in this system, interfacing every day, daily with people addicted to drugs, learning from that. And based on that, this, I think, is the fairest proposal, most just proposal, that will also help people recover from addiction, because there's accountability and treatment. And if treatment is not available, then the judge cannot give jail time. So it's fair. And I think it's the policy that could work. I'm not as confident about the other policies.
If you're counting votes for Senator Solomon's bill, I mean, with 12 Democrat co-sponsors on the bill, I can pretty much guarantee you just about everyone in my caucus would be supportive of it. You're getting pretty close to 32 votes right there in the Senate. You only need 25 to pass a bill.
So what can we do? Because I agree with you, gentlemen. I'm so glad you're both here. You know, I love some good bipartisanship, cross-party work. I love this because the goal is always to help people recover. And I've shared publicly, you know, my dad died of addiction. He died homeless. And, you know, to me, I think he really needed the carrot and the stick. And he might still be here today. And so what can our listeners do to try to push this forward?
Well, Randy, first of all, I'm very sorry for your loss. I'm sorry to hear that. I think it's critical that people contact their legislators and explain the, you know, if the provision in the bill about accountability, about the 45 days, if you refuse, you know, willfully abandoned treatment is what you think is important, as do I, just be very clear about that, you know, as opposed to contacting your legislators and saying we need to do something. Just be clear about the bill you like. And that's really a good start because, you know, we're hearing from our mayors. Democrats are hearing from their Democratic mayors that you need to do something about public safety. This is not a partisan issue. It's a real issue. We're hearing it from every corner of the community. So just be clear about what you support at this point in the process. That's the most important thing to do. And now would be a great time to start.
That's great. Well, we know our listeners are really good at that. They've been blowing up email addresses with over the pursuit bill. So if you're listening, it's Senate Bill 5467. You can email your district representatives. If you don't know who they are, go to ledge.wa.gov. You can type in your address and find out who they are, and it'll have their email addresses right there. Senators Jesse Solomon and Chris Gildon, we appreciate your time, gentlemen. Thanks for working together on this issue. It's really important.
You're welcome, Brandy. Thank you, Chris. Good to work with you, too.
Oh, this is so nice. You'll love it. Feel good on a Tuesday. You're listening to Cairo News Radio. I'm Brandy Cruz. We'll be right back.